Pay attention. I will show you a more excellent way. So Paul concludes chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and then leads into chapter 13, the famous love chapter, wherein he concludes by saying, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love, right? Jesus said that all of the Hebrew Bible could be summarized in one word, love. Love God, love neighbors. He said, Jesus does, love one another as I have loved you. My friend Don McKim writes that you could pull any number of folks and ask them to describe Christmas in one word, and it is highly likely that they would say, love, right? Christina Rossetti wrote a poem, which is a favorite of many, and is sometimes used on Christmas cards and has been made into a carol.
Love came down at Christmas, love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas, star and angels gave the sign. Worship we the Godhead, love incarnate, love divine. Worship we our Jesus, but wherewith for sacred sign? Love shall be our token, love be yours and love be mine. Love to God and all men, love for plea and gift and sign.
Thank you. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, we have lit the candle of love. This is because we are very close to Christmas, and love came down at Christmas. Well, how should we understand this Christmas love? Not by watching the Hallmark Channel. Now, there's nothing wrong with the Hallmark Channel. Joni and I watch it all the time. Those movies are very cute. Same plot, however, but, you know, the movies are very cute and very nice. Nothing wrong with it. But Jesus' love, this Christmas love that we're talking about, is not sentimental or romantic. It's stouter and firmer. It's like what Paul Hook wrote in his book, Rhythms of the Heart. My mother and I did not mix. I chose a typical teenage solution to the problem, silence. I would leave for school in the morning, come home to eat, then leave again. When I was home at night, I read books. Invariably, my mother would come downstairs and ask me if I wanted a sandwich. I grunted my assent. She cooked egg and bacon sandwiches for me night after night until I left home for good. Years later, when our relationship was mended, she told me why she had made all those sandwiches. If you would ever talk to me, it was while I made that sandwich, she said. Hook writes, I learned love is found in a consistent display of interest, commitment, sacrifice, and attention. Hook gets at what the Bible means by love, and the love that came down at Christmas. Eric Fromm, psychiatrist and philosopher, in his classic book, The Art of Loving, said this, love is an activity, not a passive effect. It is a standing in, not a falling for. In the most general way, the active character of love can be described by stating that love is primarily giving, not receiving. Fromm adds that beyond the component of giving, love contains the basic elements of care, responsibility, respect, and knowledge. Love that best demonstrates care is probably what we call mother love. Such as the mother making bacon and egg sandwiches for a recalcitrant son. Mothers consistently care for their children, feed, bathe, and comfort them. Love is the act of concern for that which we love. And a component of care as love is responsibility. It is our responsibility to respond to the needs expressed and unexpressed of another person. Now Cain, you remember, classically asked, am I my brother's keeper? Jesus would have said, your brother's business is his, but not his alone. Love is providing help when needed, as needed, responsibly. However, a sense of responsibility can kind of develop into a sort of a domination or possessiveness. It has to be balanced with respect. This is the ability to accept another person as he or she is, and to want him to develop or her to develop their uniqueness. Respect never exploits, it sets free. An old French song says, love is the child of freedom, never domination. And it is not possible to respect someone without true and deep knowledge of her or him. I mean, I can't imagine anyone saying, I know absolutely nothing about him, but I respect him highly. Doesn't work. Care and responsibility would be off the mark without knowledge. And knowledge would be empty if not marked by concern. Wanting to know another person responsibly and respectfully is loving. Care, responsibility, respect, and knowledge, it all dovetails together. They're mutually dependent. They come together and seek to further the lives of others. This is what the Bible means when it calls us to love others as ourselves. Biblical love wants other people to have all the blessings that we want for ourselves. That said, I have to say that trying to define love can be a little bit tricky. I was amused by the Peanuts comic strip. It illustrates how tricky love can be, certainly when trying to define it. Lucy comes to Charlie Brown and says, Charlie Brown, what's the definition of love? And Charlie replies, well, let's say this cute little girl. And Lucy interrupts, why does she have to be cute and little? So Charlie starts over and says, okay, so let's say this large, plain girl. And Lucy says, what do you mean? Are you saying I'm too big? Charlie sighs and says, not only can you not define love, you can't even talk about it. When Christians talk about God or love, we start with God. God is love, the Bible asserts. We take this for granted. But when John wrote those words, which come right after the passage that I read a bit ago, the possibility of God being malevolent was a constant fear. In the Greco-Roman world, there were many gods, and none of them were particularly loving. In their world, the gospel message of one God, and that a God of love, would be astonishing. John wrote, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and gave his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. What is important to remember is that the same John who wrote God is love also wrote, we love because God first loved us. First God loves us, then God calls us to love others. The indicative before the imperative. Theology, then ethics. The reason we know God loves us is because God's Son went to the cross for us. Jesus himself said that no greater love can there be than a person give up his life for his friends, which is exactly what he did when he responded to God's call to move forward to the cross. The character of love shows itself in giving. Now, human love is normally a response to something. Things such as beauty, compassion, and acceptance summon our love. And John tells us that with God, the one who summons our love is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the truth that summons our faith. Jesus is the love of God that summons our love. We cannot go to God, but God has come to us with his love in Christ. And that summons our love in return. Well, John wrote, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. How do we get the love of God to abide in us? Don't we want God to love us? There seems to be a way that we can shut off God's love and a way to open ourselves to God's love. We abide in the love of God by worshiping God. This is the place we come to be told week after week that God loves us. And we value that which we love. To worship God is to demonstrate our love of God. See, our English word, our modern English word, worship, actually comes from the old English word meaning worth-ship, or God is worth it. We value God enough to get up on Sunday morning, drag ourselves out of the sack, get in the car, and drive to church and sit in the pew in the sanctuary with other folks in order to honor God with our praise and presence. I'm reminded of the story of the small boy who was in a mission school in Kenya. He loved his teacher, and at Christmas time he wanted to give her a gift, so he carved for her an African lion out of a block of wood. And on Christmas morning, he got up very early at dawn and walked 10 miles to the house where his teacher lived. When he gave it to her, she was delighted. She said, I love it, but you shouldn't have walked so far to give it to me. And he said, the walk is part of the gift. Remember, a major form of loving is giving oneself to the beloved. It acknowledges the other's worth to us. Such is worship. Abide in love by worshiping on Sunday with friends in this sanctuary and daily by your own time of prayer and praise. Love God by worshiping God, because in worshiping God, God gives you back his love. We love others by communicating with them. Worshiping God is listening and responding to God's word. Listening and responding to others are expressions of love of neighbor. Now, especially this is true of listening. Communication requires kind of an interaction in the present moment. There are few things more loving than giving somebody else our full attention and endeavoring to understand exactly what it is they're trying to say and what they want us to know. First listen, then respond by putting their words into your words. Continue to do this until you can repeat back to them what it is they want you to know to their satisfaction. When you do that, you're really listening. But you know, most of the time, we don't communicate much. Basically, we don't listen. We do alternating monologues. You know, I talk, and while I talk, you think of what you're going to say, and then you say back to me, and now while you're talking, I'm not really listening to you because I'm preparing what it is I'm going to say back. We alternate our monologues. We don't have to solve each other's personal dilemmas, but it is loving to hear them out while trying to understand what it is on their heart that they're trying to express to us. Being truly heard is a satisfying grace and a loving thing to do for others. Here's how one person put it. The upshot is that true communication is a discipline, a spiritual discipline. It is a discipline of love, for it overcomes the separation of people and breaks through the misunderstandings that may lead to anger, prejudice, and even violence. It is a demanding discipline, to be sure. Once we start to practice it, we become aware of how often we miss each other in our conversations. But we can practice this discipline every day. We love others by communicating with them. And we love both God and others by sharing our possessions and giving of our excess. As Eric Fromm said, the active character of love can be described by stating, love is primarily giving, not receiving. There are three reasons why this is so. Number one, we have neighbors in need. Number two, we have enough to share. And number three, we are meant to be God's agents of love. Giving honors God as it aids others. And you know, it requires a kind of an honest discernment on our part. We need to keep what is necessary to maintain our lives and the lives of our dependents. And we need to put something away for future requirements and needs. And then we should ask, how much do I keep and spend on my own personal pleasure, comfort, and convenience? Discernment is knowing the difference between what we need and what we want but don't really need. It grows from having faith in God. Because you see, hoarding is an expression of atheism. And overspending is a form of hedonism. Giving demonstrates love of God and love of others. Here's how one family I know of is working it out. The parents have told their children they have all they want. Don't buy them anything for Christmas. Instead, they said, give us the money you would have spent on our gifts. The parents have also decided they're not buying each other Christmas gifts this year. They're going to take the money their children give them, the money that they would have spent on each other, and give the total amount to a mission agency to put a fresh, clean water well in a third world village. They know they can buy whatever they need whenever they want it. They're discerning that this is God's will for them this Christmas. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. That is because it shows that we understand that our very lives themselves are God's gifts to us. It measurably honors God and it blesses others. It's a true act of love. Well, I'm going to close with a story that I got from Bruce Tillman, who is the pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh. One night in western Pennsylvania, there was a terrible ice storm. It made travel almost impossible. At the height of the storm, a family of his congregation told him to tell them that their little boy, who had leukemia, had taken a sudden turn for the worse. They called the doctor and he said, take the child immediately to the hospital. They called the hospital and the hospital said, bring him in, but we can't send an ambulance. They're all tied up in this storm. Family didn't have a car. So they called their pastor, Tillman. His car was in the garage being repaired. So he called an elder of the church. Well, this elder immediately got in his car and began the treacherous drive. Don't know if you've ever been to Pittsburgh or not, but it has many steep hills. His brakes were nearly useless that night. He slid through one stop sign and red light after another and actually had three minor accidents on his way to the family's house. When he reached their home, the parents brought out their little boy wrapped in a blanket. His mother got in the front seat and held her son. His father slipped into the back seat. Ever so slowly, they drove to the hospital. They came to the bottom of a hill, and as they managed to skid to a stop, the elder tried to decide if he should turn left and go down the valley way to the hospital or go to the right. He glanced to the right and caught out of the corner of his eye the child's face. The youngster's face was flushed and his eyes were wide with fear and fever. In an effort to comfort the little boy, he reached over and tussled his hair. Just then, this boy said to him, Mister, are you Jesus? And you know what? In that moment, he could have said, yes. This elder knew how we have been loved by God through this very Jesus. So he determined that since he was so loved, he would risk life and limb and dents on his car by extending love to this family. John wrote, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Friends, getting and giving love is the essence of Christianity. And love came down at Christmas. Let the people of God say, Amen.